If you would kneel with me for prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we are gathered here together in your church this morning. We ask and hope for your Spirit to be with us here, that you would lead and guide each one of our hearts and minds. We ask that you would be with those that are leading out this morning, give them your words and your message for us. Also this morning we want to pray for those that are not here with us this morning. We ask that you would reach out with your healing hand and your hand of protection, and that you would touch them and protect them and keep them and bring them back to worship with us again soon. We ask this morning that you would help each one of us here to be blessed and to be filled and prepared for the week ahead. We ask that you would especially be with Karen as she brings us a message this morning, that you would give her the words to speak, that your Spirit might touch our hearts and our lives. We ask for your blessing and safekeeping. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, everyone. Today's scripture is Luke 17, verse 26 and 27. But first he must suffer many... Oh, that's 25, sorry. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all.
Just do a real brief intro for Karen. I know many of you know her, but just a special thank you for Karen. She's a longtime member of OMAC Church, a friend of our family and her family, and just really blessed that she'll be here with us today to bring us a message. So thank you, Karen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath. It says in Amos 8:11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." So this morning we are going to be fed by God's word. But before I start, let's have another prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you would be with each of us, that you would have the Holy Spirit come down upon us, and we claim your promise where two or three are gathered in your name, that you would be with us, Lord. So I ask you to put your words into my mouth, and that every mind and heart would be open to receive it. I ask this in thy name. Amen. So let's look at Luke 17, 26 and 27, what was just read. "And as in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." So eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, is there anything wrong with these activities? No, not if it's according to God's will and plan for us. So why was everybody in Noah's day, except for eight people, why were they all destroyed in the flood? For the answer, we need to go to Genesis 6, verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Evil continually. Do we see that today in this world? We read about killings and rapes and laundering of money and wars and mass shootings and sexual diversions and child molestation and birth killings. The days of Noah are here today. And we know that during the days of Noah, that when Noah entered into the ark, there was a waiting period. So we know that when, with the days of Noah being here today, that Christ is coming back soon. And how is he coming back? We need to look at 1 Thessalonians 5:2. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. It says, "For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And Jesus also said that he was going to come as a thief in the night. And that's in Revelation 16, 15. It says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." And there are many other verses in the Bible that says watch, like the whole Gospels, all of them, tell us to watch. So what are we watching? Are we watching sports, movies, YouTube? What are we watching? What are we supposed to be watching? We're supposed to be watching the signs that are all around us. And we can see these signs. And Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 17, 19 are telling us some of the signs that we're supposed to be watching. So let's look at Matthew 24, 5 through 8, and it will talk about some of the signs. It says in Matthew 24, 5 through 8, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows," and some versions call it labor pains. So if a woman is pregnant and she's about to be delivered, or she's about to deliver her baby, rather, and that as the days get closer and closer, she might start feeling some twinges. And as the hours get closer to her delivery, the twinges become painful and they get closer together and they get more harder. And it almost feels like she's in continual pain. Well, that is what's happening now in this earth. When you look at the news, you can see from all over the globally that we are having fires and we are having floods. And before the floods ends, we have a tornado. And before the tornado ends, we have hurricanes. And before the hurricanes, we have earthquakes. And so it's continuous. Before one ends, another starts. And it's going all over. And it says, let's see. So we need to keep our eyes open for what's happening around us. But is there anything else we need to watch? Let's look at Matthew 26, 41. Matthew 26, 41. It says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we need to make sure we do not enter into temptation. So what are our thoughts? What are our actions? Are they all for God or are they for self? Paul had this problem in Romans 7:19. In 7:19, he says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." So how do we do what God wants us to do and not self? John 1:12 gives us the answer. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on him." So it's not our power that we go and have a relationship with God and watch and resist temptation. It's God's power. Only through God's power can we resist the temptations, because we are not stronger than the devil. God is, praise the Lord. In Acts 1:8, it also tells us, "But ye shall receive power, and after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses both unto me in Jerusalem, unto Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the world." And how are we to be a witness? God asks us each to be a witness. The only way we can be a witness for God is to know God. And he invites us to know him. In Isaiah 1:18, it says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool." So we are the ones to make that decision whether we want to follow God or that we want to follow what we want to do. And God gives us choice, every single one of us. The question is, do we know about God or do we know God? We need to know God as our personal Lord, our personal Savior, our best friend. And if we do know him, then we will always be watching, praying, and obeying. And we will also know that now is the time to put away our idols, our games, our love of self, our love of money, and repent of all of our sins, our lying, our cheating, our adultery, fornication, and anything that keeps our minds unhealthy, like drugs, overeating, smoking, caffeine, alcohol. If we watch, we get to keep our garments. And what are our garments? For that, we'll look at Isaiah 61:10 says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and has covered me with the robe of righteousness." So what is salvation? What is the clothes of salvation? Salvation is a gift of God. It is his grace upon us. In Romans 1:16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek," or the Gentiles. So what is the power of God unto salvation? The gospel of Christ. Jesus gave his life to us so that we can keep our life for him. Matthew 1:21, if everyone can turn to that, Matthew 1:21. It says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people in their sins." Is that what it says? No. Amen. From their sins. So if a child had been kidnapped and the parents have received this ransom note, and the ransom note says $500,000, And so the parents have got to look to their friends, talk to them, and talk to their family, and talk to everybody, so that they can rescue this child. And so they give this money to the kidnappers. And then they say, oh, here's the money, but keep the child until you want to bring him back. Does that what God said to us? No. He doesn't want to keep us in our sins. He wants to keep us from our sins. He liberates us from the captivity of sins. And the fool says in his heart, in Psalms 14:1, there is no God. So if we choose to stay in our sins, what does that say about us? If we say Christ will change us when he comes, we are denying his power to change us now to be ready for when he comes. In Matthew 5:48, it says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And Christ Object Lesson, page 69, states, when the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. So we need to watch, we need to watch, retain the victory in Jesus, retain our robe of righteousness, so that we will not be found naked or in our sins. The Bible tells us of a group of people who are naked and need of a garment. Do you know who they are? Us. In Revelation 3:17-18, they are the Laodiceans, which is all of us. And it says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the silver, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with salve, that thou mayest see. We need to live in a state of continual preparation every minute of our lives. Now is the time to stop playing the games and choose life, and that life is with God, because this is a life and death issue. The judgment hour is here. 1 Peter 4:17-18 says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begins at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Scarcely is a word that means hardly, barely, with difficulty, if the righteous can scarcely be saved. Let's look at Luke 13:23-24. And a man came up to Jesus. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive. And what does strive mean? Strive means to make an earnest effort, to try with passion. So strive to enter into the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Matthew 7:13-14 says something very similar. In 13 it says, enter ye into the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And then in 21-22-23, which is in Matthew 7. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in that name, in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name doeth many wonderful works. And then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Those are the seven saddest words in the Bible is, "I never knew you. Depart from me." And I pray that none of us will ever hear those words. So he's not talking about people in the world. He's talking about his church. He's talking about every single one of us. In Matthew 24, 37 through 39, it says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be." So the door of the ark was shut, and they had to wait 7 days, seven long days, until the floods came. But those that were in the ark, only eight, were saved. The others were instructed. They did not obey, and they did not watch, and they were all taken away by the flood. So, and this will happen at the time of the end, before Christ comes. So is Jesus going to call us? Is he going to email us? Is he going to text us or Twitter us or Facebook us saying that, you know, the sealing process is here. The judgment is here. Get ready. He has, right here, in his book, in his scripture, in his word. We need to follow his word so that we are ready. Revelation 22:11 says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." We need to be in the ark before the door closes. And if we are still in our sins, we will not make it to heaven. Whatever God bids us to do, he gives us the power to do it. But we need to ask him and be willing to wrestle with God, because what he asks us may not be what we want to do. In Joel 2, verse 1, it says, "Blow ye the trumpets in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the earth tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." So it doesn't say, blow ye the flute or play the harp. Because if we blow ye the flute and we are in a drowsy state and not awake watching for the Lord, if we're drowsy and the flute is playing, we will fall asleep. And if the harp continues to play, we will go into a deeper sleep. But if someone comes in and blows the trumpet, it will startle us awake. And it will give us a warning that the soon destruction is coming upon us. So this is not a message of comfort. It is a message to startle us, to wake up. And it says also, all will tremble. Every single person will tremble, because the sinners will tremble, because the wages of sin is death. And the righteous will tremble, because there are multitudes in the valley of decision. We know friends, we know family members, and if they linger in the valley of decision too long, they won't make it to heaven. It is up to us to inform them what is happening. We all need to make that decision. I need to make that decision to get out of that valley and to be for God. And it says in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So there's a lot of verbs in here. Go, teach, baptize, teaching them to observe. We are not to be pew warmers. We are to be active in spreading God's gospel. We need to do everything that God has placed in our hearts to warn ourselves, to be watchful, to warn others. The final prophecies are almost fulfilled, and we are weighed in the balances. Are we found wanting? I pray not. Are we where God wants us? Now is the time to watch, to pray, and to be a child of God. Be ready, get ready, be ready, and stay ready. Christ is coming soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Karin. Our closing hymn is number 289, "The Savior is Waiting." Please stand with us.
Thank you for the word that we each heard today. I pray that each heart, each mind was open to receive your word, to take it into heart, and to live by your word every day. We ask this in thy precious name. Amen. Mm-hmm.